Quite deep, something to make us think a little. Let us repeat it responsively. You can repeat after me. According to knowledge,
according to knowledge,
in the material mode of goodness,
there is no qualitative difference
between the living entity and the supreme controller. The imagination of qualitative difference between them is useless speculation. Let's read the purport here by our VBT commentators. According to certain philosophers, there are 25 elements, among which a single category is stipulated for both the individual living entity and the Supreme Lord. Such impersonal knowledge is declared by the Lord to be material, jnanam cha prakritir gunam. Such knowledge can, however, be accepted to establish the qualitative identity of the Supreme Lord and the living entities who expand from him. Materialistic persons sometimes believe that there is a supreme spirit in heaven, but also think that human beings are identical with their material bodies, and thus qualitatively and perpetually separated from the Supreme Lord. Knowledge of the Lord's qualitative oneness with the living entity, as described in this verse, refutes the materialistic concept of life and partially establishes the absolute truth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the actual situation as achintya bhed abhed tattva. The Supreme Controller and the controlled living entities are simultaneously one and different. In the material mode of goodness, the oneness is perceived. As one proceeds further to the stage of Vishuddha Sattva, or purified spiritual goodness, one finds spiritual variety within the qualitative oneness, completing one's knowledge of the absolute truth. The words na vaivakshanyam anvapi boldly affirm that the individual living entity is indisputably part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and qualitatively one with him. Any philosophical attempt to separate the living entity from the Supreme Lord and deny his eternal servitude to the Lord is thus refuted. Speculation arriving at the conclusion that the living entity has independent existence separate from the Lord is described here as aparta, useless. Nevertheless, the theory of 25 elements is acceptable to the Lord as a preliminary phase in the evolution of spiritual knowledge. Purusheshvarayor acha navailakshanyam anvapi tadanya kalpana parta jnanam cha prakritir guna. according to knowledge in the material mode of goodness, there is no qualitative difference between the living entity and the supreme controller. The imagination of qualitative difference between them is useless speculation. Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasada Dileshma Timakivananda Swami. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vanapachare Nirvishishunyavadi Pastachare Shnare Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Vakabrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakam Chirubis Jagri Vasindhu Gevacha Paditana Vavadeva Vaishnava Namo Namaha. So, Hare Krishna, did you get the message? This message. Got it. No problem. At all. Child's play. Oh, we have one person who has a problem. And he is the most senior amongst us. I wonder what it might mean or indicate. This chapter is titled Elements of Material Creation. This is the material creation, of course. And beyond it is the spiritual creation. Or even we cannot really say spiritual creation, because creation obviously means that at some point it was put together, and before that point in time it was not. It wasn't really there, or at least it wasn't there in that creative form which later it was present in. Just like when you cook, at the end you get your whatever it is, whatever you cooked, your beans curry from Chatsworth, Unit 3, or Unit 2. So, yeah, so there it is. That's the creation, and you created it, you could say. You put it together. In the beginning, though, before you cooked it all, you had to get all the ingredients together, your beans and your potatoes, your gravy soakers, and your, of course, a good quantity of nice red chilies, just to wake everyone up when they eat it, and all that. And your oil or oil. So you've got to get it. You've got to get these things. But that is different from the end product. You know, your uncooked beans, as they come out of the packet, they're usually sort of hard like rocks. Yeah. And your uncooked potato, if you throw it at someone, it could be quite a formidable weapon. So that when they're cooked, and you've got the final product, it's something different. Of course, it's the same, because it's just those ingredients you got together. But through that process of, you could say, creation, of you cooking things up, then it's really become quite different. So on the material level, in the material world, created, this building, going back some whatever 30 years or something like that, there was no building here. But the devotees got bricks and cement and wood and so on and so forth. And everything was put together, and now we have the temple. And even if you take it back further, before the devotees got the bricks, because the bricks are made, they get various whatever types of rock or earth or something and put them together and bake them, then you get a brick. And the wood previously, it was all trees. So in the material world, everything gets put together from previously having existed in some other form. And this is the process or the principle of creation. In the kingdom of God, everything always was there. And everything always will be there. That's another aspect of material creation, material objects and things. After some time, they're destroyed. So, but in the spiritual world, nothing was ever created, and nothing will ever be or could ever be destroyed. It is the eternal reality, which is the real reality. Because otherwise, if your reality is always changing, then it is not exactly reality. It's just some temporary manifestation. The in-between stage of something. So anyway, this chapter is called Elements of Material Creation, and it is spoken by Lord Krishna himself. This is Lord Krishna speaking to Uddhava. And in fact, the conversation between Krishna and Uddhava spans many chapters in the 11th canto, and it is called Uddhava Gita. Whereas we have Bhagavad Gita, we've all heard of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. But this is now Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. And he is analyzing this material world, and it is a little complicated. It is a little complicated. But even having said that, when it's nicely explained by the Lord and analyzed, and then we get these nice purports here from Srila Prabhupada and devotees following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, then it becomes understandable. And then it's actually valuable. It's helpful to understand what is this material world? How is it working? What is it really? Who are we really? Are we just these material bodies? Am I a European man? Are you an Indian woman? Am I older? Are you younger or what? Who are we? What are we actually? So it's very interesting, and it's actually very important. It's very important to understand who we are, what we are. Because then we can understand what we need, what we don't need. Because we may think we need something we don't need. And we may even think we need something which is bad for us. You know, talking about beans curry, meaning with many red chilies. If you, as you get older, or even sometimes when you're younger, If you eat too much like that, you may get some digestive condition like a stomach ulcer. I'm sure you know at least one person with a stomach ulcer, but it's not you. And then you may eat your tasty, tasty beans curry, smuggling. But then you may get sick and, wow, and really regret it. But when you see it, you think, oh, look at that. So it's very important to understand these things. Who are we? What are we? Then you can understand what you need, what you don't need, what's good for you, what's bad for you, etc. And then you can live a meaningful life. Otherwise, if you think you're something you're not, Srila Prabhupada gave the story, little sort of anecdote, of the wrong bank account. Someone came out of school or university into the adult working world, got his first job somewhere, maybe at the Checkers Center, and that was also not here, you know, until quite recently, the Checkers Center. So anyway, got his job there, got his pay, end of the first month, paycheck. Oh, very good. Went to the net bank, opened his account, deposited the money, and then every month, deposit, deposit, deposit. Until finally, you know, he's one of these people worked at the same job for his entire working life. Finally he retired many years later, 40 years later, 50 years later, something. And he went to the bank to withdraw some money and filled out the withdrawal slip, handed it into the teller. Teller looked at the computer, looked again, looked at the computer, looked again, and said, "Oh, you know, there's been a mistake. Sorry about that. This account number, you sure this is your account number?" "Yes, this is what I've been putting all my money into for the last 40 odd years." "Oh, sorry. Shri Shri Radha Radha Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shri Giri Govardhanki. Sorry, this is the wrong account number. You have been putting all your money in the wrong account. You got nothing. Sorry." Bye-bye. How would you feel? Not so good. But that's what's going on. People are making generally in material life. People think, "I am this body. I am a young woman. Therefore, I need certain things. You know, nice, fashionable clothes. Perhaps a nice husband. Made to order." Sorry, they don't come by that. But anyway, may think. And a nice lively house. Maybe even in Westville. At least Mobini or Reservoirs. And I need these things. Nice car. I need these things. But actually, we are not these bodies. We are eternal spiritual beings. Our eternal nature is to serve Krishna. And not just to acquire material things and try to enjoy them, eat, drink, and be merry, as they say. That's not really our business. But our business is to serve Krishna. but in material life, everyone is doing the wrong thing because they have the wrong idea. Who am I? What do I need? What should I do? What should my program in life be? Generally, people have the wrong ideas. Therefore, they take up the wrong programs of activity, and it is a big waste. It is a big waste. It's sort of like, in a sense, if someone gives you some money and throws you, or if you give someone's money, they throw it out the window. Goodbye. Wouldn't you think, wow, what a waste? One devotee told me, Guru Das, I don't know Guru Das, from the old days. He was there in Vrindavan, one of the first ISKCON devotees to go there. And somehow, this is like maybe 1970, him and his wife, Jamuna, the famous cook, somehow they met the Maharaj of Bharatpur. Maharaj, traditional king of that region. Of course, India was already a democracy, so they had all lost, you know, whatever political power they had. But anyway, he was still very rich, famous, and influential man in the area. And the Maharaj of Bharatpur took Guru Das and his wife, Jamuna, to one well-known temple, the Gokula Mahavan temple, where Krishna appeared, where he had his childhood pastimes. It's a very famous temple. And in there, as in quite a number of temples in India, they have people called pandas. They're the local priests. They're called pandas. And as in many temples in India, they are enthusiastic in the extreme to get your money from you. From your pockets into theirs. Their enthusiasm sometimes knows no bounds. So in came the Maharaj of Bharatpur. Everybody in that area knew the Maharaj of Bharatpur with our two ISKCON devotees. And the local pandas just descended on the Maharaj of Bharatpur and just shook. It was a scene. It was a real scene. As they are pressing him to get money from. And the Maharaj of Bharatpur got so disturbed. He had brought with him 10,000 rupees, which in those days, even today, you know, it's a reasonable amount of money, 2,500 rands. Well, no, actually, it's 1,500 rands, maybe. So, you know, not a small amount of money. And in those days, 30 years ago, it was really quite a bit of money. In those days, it was probably, you know, more than well over $1,000. He got so upset. In front of them, he pulled out this 10,000 rupees, 101 rupee notes, took some matches and burnt the 10,000 rupees to ashes in front of these people. And they were just standing there like, they couldn't believe it. If they could have got one of those 100 rupee notes, it would have made their day. Anyway, what a waste, actually, I must admit. It was not a very intelligent thing to do. He could have used it for something else, at least. But in material life, people identify with the body But we are not these bodies. We are eternal spiritual persons. And they work very hard to get things for the enjoyment of the body. And it's a waste, because we don't really become satisfied and happy by trying to please something which is not us. So we need to address our real means as eternal spiritual persons. So therefore, these understandings, even though they're a little complicated, but actually they're very valuable, because they help us to really see in a little more detail what is this material world, and understand more clearly why it is not a good idea to just absorb oneself in material existence. It gives some conviction of understanding, because when you have a strong conviction in something, you know, which hopefully is true, but anyway, when you have a real conviction about something which is true, then you can act very positively. Confirmation. Then you can act positively and strongly and effectively and successfully. So it's very valuable. So what has been pointed out here is, first thing, and this is kind of the deep point, what is spiritual? We know what is material. These bodies are material, buildings, anything you can see basically in the material world is material. In simple terms, as explained by Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir Apo Namo Vayu, Kam Mano Bhutya Evacha, Ahankara, Ityame, Vinaprakritir Ashada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. Krishna says, Bina Prakritya Ashtada. These are my eight separated material energies. This is a very simple analysis of matter. What is this world made of? Like when I was at school, which was some time ago, we were taught in, I guess it must have been the chemistry class, that our bodies are something like 70% water, H2O. Were you taught that? You weren't. 70%? It hasn't changed? Okay. So 70% water. Of course it doesn't look like it, does it? Doesn't really look like it. But when the body is broken down in chemical terms, apparently this is what you get. And of course, in the bones is calcium and I don't know what else, but the body can be analyzed chemically. And many years ago when I was in England, in the Times, the London Times, there was an article that the body can be broken down into its chemical components. And those chemicals are available in the chemicals shop. I guess there must be some chemicals shops somewhere. You can go and buy the chemicals. And the article was saying, if you bought enough chemicals, all the appropriate chemicals, to make up one, you know, 50, 60, 70 kilo, 80 kilo body, 100 kilo body, that's getting a bit overweight perhaps. But it said it would cost, you know, this is going back 30 years, about 10 pounds. 10 pounds. That's what it said. I remember reading, and it's one of those things that really stuck in my mind. So, of course, the different earth, water, fire, air, ether, these different things can be broken down further into subdivisions, but in simple terms, they're these different types of material elements, which everything material is made of. But beyond that is the spiritual reality. Just like in terms of our bodies, as opposed to, for example, this table or the building also has water in it and earth and etc. But our bodies are alive. This building is not alive. What is the what is the different ingredient component which is giving life to the body but not to the building? What is that thing? Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, it is the soul. And when we say soul, we mean us, you, me, the person, the being, the conscious living entity, the energetic living entity. In Sanskrit, we use the term Atma. In English, we say soul. So, that is the ingredient, the component, which is giving life to this material object, but not, because it is not present in this one, the table doesn't have, doesn't display the symptoms of its presence, life, consciousness, energy, and so on. Yeah. It's something like, nowadays, most watches are powered by batteries. When I was a child, my first watch had to wind it up every day. And that's, you know, even if you had a Rolex, you had to wind it up every day. But then, you know, automatic watches arrived on the scene just as you move. As you act during the day, it re-energizes. And then they came up with batteries. So now most watches have batteries. So you look at your watch here, there it is, it's ticking away. You take out the battery, immediately it stops. It is the component which is giving that energy at least to the watch. You put it back in, it starts up again. So in this case, the soul is non-material and cannot be directly perceived by material senses, cannot be seen, touched, cannot be seen by material eyes. But it is there. And when it leaves the body, the body stops. The body is dead. So, the spiritual reality is made of three entities. This is being mentioned in the purport. There's us, the individual souls. Then, within this material world, kind of managing things, controlling the functionings of this material world, making sure, for example, our planet does not go spinning off deeper into outer space, or go spinning in closer to the sun. Talk about global warming. You would really need air conditioning if the planet went 10% closer to the sun. 10% closer. Sure, I don't know what would happen, but something would really happen. But it's not doing like that. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you to the laws of gravity. But the law, every law, is instituted by a person or people. So, all these things being controlled by Krishna, there is a form of God who is managing in the material world. And whereas we are called Atma, or the soul, Atma in Sanskrit, that form of the Lord who is controlling the material nature, making sure it works properly, he is called Param Atma, or Super Soul, within this material world. And then there is a third feature, manifestation of a spiritual entity, and that is Krishna himself in the kingdom of God, who is just enjoying things in the kingdom of God, surrounded by his devotees. He doesn't have to manage anything. He expands into the super soul to manage this material world. So these are the three features of spiritual reality, or three types of spiritual entities, and they are all equally spiritual. Here, in this verse and purport, I don't know if you caught it, because it was all a bit, you know, high and complex. But there was a discussion in the verse also about qualitative difference or non-difference and quantitative difference and non-difference. You know, I hope nobody's head is spinning too much so far. But the idea is that in terms of these three types, three categories of spiritual being, there is qualitative non-difference in quality. Means the basic qualities of spirit are Sat, Chit, Ananda, eternity, knowledge or consciousness, and bliss. So, we as eternal spiritual little persons, and Krishna as an eternal big spiritual person, we are as eternal as Krishna. He is not more eternal, because after all, you cannot be more or less eternal. You're either eternal or not. So, we are, this is a quality, the quality of being eternal. We are as eternal as God. And conscious, as distinct from knowledge. But we are conscious, we are fully conscious, at least of ourselves and our situations, ultimately, in our pure spiritual condition. Of course, now we are not. Now we are not fully conscious of ourselves and our situation. Where is that samosa you ate last night? Is it here? There? Where is it? How is the hair growing out of your head? Are you aware? No, but it is. So we are not fully conscious of ourselves now, because in this material world, there is the force, the energy of ignorance, tamagun. It is an actual, a shakti, a potency which influences us and affects us, and we lose our knowledge. But otherwise, we are conscious in our small way. And Krishna is conscious in this big way. And we are blissful in our small way, and He is blissful in this big way. Qualitatively, we are one. Quantitatively, we are much smaller. He is. We are infinite. We are infinitesimal. He is infinite. So what is the point that is being made here? Try and catch this if you can. In the material world, we mentioned, there is tamagun, that potency, we call it the mode of ignorance. It makes us forget. Then there is rajagun, the mode, the potency of passion, that energy, that force. You can feel it in the air. And when people go to work and things, life is sort of getting going again during the course of the day, in the atmosphere, one can feel the presence of passion. And then at night, ignorance, dullness sets in, and eventually everyone falls asleep. Do you remember, does anyone here remember ever when you actually fell asleep? No. When you met that samosa last night, you can remember that. You can remember it. But when you actually went from conscious to unconscious, can't remember. I can't. I'm sure you can't also. That is because, it is not because you decided you didn't want to know, some conscious decision. It's just the mode of ignorance, because you're tired at the end of the day. The system just shuts down. And the next thing you know, you're waking up. So the mode of ignorance influences us and makes us forget and makes us dull. The mode of passion gives that energy and even excessive energy. And then there's the mode of goodness, sattva, sattva guna. That energy of peacefulness and gentleness, clarity of consciousness. So the point being made here is that according to knowledge in the material mode of goodness, when a person is more under the influence of goodness, that peaceful, clear, kind of bright condition of material existence, they start to get some sense of spirituality, but it is very limited. They get some sense of spirituality, but only that there is something spiritual. There is something spiritual. We find it often with people who are, you know, vegetarian, and, you know, they don't take intoxicants, for example. They lead a good, healthy type of life. They have some sense of the unity which exists. on a deeper level within this world. So, in the mode of goodness, there's a tendency to see oneness. In the mode of passion, when your mind is influenced by that, there's a tendency to see difference. And in the mode of ignorance, there is a tendency to see nothing. Or if you see things much, to just, you know, not to be very conscious, not to be very aware of what is the situation. So according to knowledge, in the material mode of goodness, Krishna says, there is no qualitative difference between the living entity and the supreme controller, the super soul. Therefore, people who are in that sort of condition, when they analyze this material world, at least according to Vedic standards, they see 25 component elements. I won't go through all the 25. Whereas the devotees see 26. The devotees see as the 25th, the soul, the living entity, as the active ingredient within the living bodies, and what is making things tick, making things happen in this world. And then 26 is the controller, the supreme controller, who is the Lord, controlling things on the material level. But the non-devotee people who try to analyze in Vedic terms, they see 25. The 25th is just the spiritual. The spiritual. And if they feel, anyway, the spiritual, it's all one. We've probably heard this term before. It's all one. I am you, and you are me, and happy days. What is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. And I have no money, but you have some, so you can give it to me, and thank you because it's all mine. Yes, so this idea, which comes from the material mode of goodness, a sense, a subtle sense of spirituality, but it is not clear. It gives rise to this consciousness that everything is one. You know, it's very popular in Hinduism. You can worship Durga, you can worship Krishna, Hanuman, Madhavir, Murga. You can do goat prayers to Kali Ma, go to Spingo Temple at Easter with one black fowl, or go to the Hare Krishna Temple. It's okay, because it's just, you know, it's all the same. Well, the bad news is it's not all the same. The good news is at least you've got some religious sense, which is better than being an outright, utter materialist. The bad news is, you know, you've got some mistaken conceptions. And in the name of being all spiritual and religious, you're actually getting involved in some things which are offsetting, acting against your real spiritual or religious interests. Yes. So it's very important. Knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is very important. This is why Srila Prabhupada emphasized book distribution, actually. Because people, just people, they don't know what's going on at all. Even Hindu people who may have heard of Bhagavad Gita, they may even have some version of Bhagavad Gita on the bookshelf somewhere. But they don't understand the message of Bhagavad Gita very much at all. Srila Prabhupada made the point that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is presenting many processes, many different types of yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, dhyana yoga, sat chakra yoga, and then many different types of sacrifice. There's a whole list of different forms of sacrifice, worship of different deities. And some people who read Bhagavad Gita but don't understand what Krishna is trying to get at, they think that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is just presenting many options. You can choose the option you like. And you choose the option you like, which may be different from the one I choose, but it's okay. Because as you like, yata mata tata pata, as many minds, as many paths, as many opinions, as many paths. Unfortunately, it doesn't quite work like that. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, many people think that Bhagavad Gita is something like a big box of assorted chocolates. You like the one with the peppermint filling? Go for it. You like the one with the toffee filling? You go for that. Someone likes the one, the hard one, or the one with the nuts in it. No, they can go for that. It's okay. It's just up to you. And the fact that you choose one doesn't mean it is actually better than any other one. It's just your taste. So, Prabhupada said like that. Some people think Bhagavad Gita is just like a big box of assorted chocolates or a big box of assorted Diwali sweets. You take the burfi, I'll take the laddu, etc. And that's what Bhagavad Gita is. But it's not. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has a message. He is trying to make a point. He is really trying to make a point. And if we understand, if we get nice direction, we can understand the point and then put it into effect. And we can help other people also understand the point. One of my godbrothers in London, I joined in London, he was an artist. And he would make abstract art and sell it in the art, the street art markets, different places in London. And he would just stand back, and sometimes he would literally close his eyes and just swipe the paintbrush all over, or flick the paintbrush at the canvas, these big canvases, and come up with these. You know, he even admitted it himself. They were just terrible messes. But then he would go and sell them. And people, these like pseudo-art connoisseurs, would come and look at the paintings. And do things like this. It means you're a real connoisseur. And then they come and say, I understand the message you're trying to put across. You mean this and this and that. Some total concoction. And he, because he wants to sell his painting, He would always say, "You understood." That's wonderful. You're very, very intelligent. And some of them would buy the painting. But actually, they were simply messers. So anyway, the thing is, if people are somewhat in the mode of goodness, more peaceful, relatively, not completely, but relatively, more clear-minded, they will get some sense that there is some spirituality somewhere around, behind the scenes. But they will not understand the details of it. So they'll tend towards the idea that there's a oneness there. But actually, within this world, there's us, and the Lord as super soul, and it's very important to understand the difference. There is a relationship. It is a question not of oneness, but of relationship. Cultivating a particular type of relationship. Hare Krishna. I hope I didn't bewilder anyone too much. Any comments? Comments?
Okay. If we're, how can we be qualitatively one with Krishna?
How can we be qualitatively one when we find that even Shiva has qualities that we don't have, and of course Narayan has qualities that Shiva doesn't have, and then of course Krishna has the qualities of Leela Madhuri, Prem Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri, and Venu Madhuri that he's exceedingly beautiful, and he plays the flute, and he has wonderful pastimes and wonderful loving affairs with his devotees. And we can't have these things, so how can we be qualitatively one with Krishna?
Okay. Well, the thing is, Krishna has those qualities completely. We also have some beauty. And, you know, maybe some of us can also play the flute. Krishna plays the flute, there he is. Maybe some of us can play the flute also, but not the way Krishna does. So, now the qualities are there, but he has them quantitatively more beauty, more knowledge. So there's a difference in quantity, although the qualities are shared. You know, Krishna, when he was here 5,000 years ago, he was so beautiful. Some people would see him, and they would become overpowered by his beauty and faint. No one fainted when they saw me. I don't know if anyone fainted when they saw any of you. I doubt it. So there's a difference in quantity. And Krishna has pastimes, loving pastimes. We also have our pastimes. People have their pastimes. Who is it? Abhi. Aishwarya and Abhishek. But we would rather have Radha and Krishna. Because their pastimes are much nicer. So, yeah, the qualities are shared. But it's a question of quantity. And the point which is made in Nectar of Devotion is not exactly that we don't have the qualities, but we don't have them in full. Lord Brahma has some qualities in full, but others not in full. Yeah. But then, in the end, you get those four special qualities you referred to. And Krishna is the only one who has them in full. Even other forms of himself, like Narayana, don't possess beauty to the in full, to the degree that Krishna does. Although, of course, Lord Narayan is extremely beautiful by our standards, completely out of this world. Is that okay? Thank you. Any other comment or question from anyone? You intelligent students. Okay. Shiva Prabhupada ki.